Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution.
Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast of the Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. I'm David Bowes, your host. Today, the political world is abuzz with the label anti-science. You can find it on TV, in newspapers, even in presidential debates. But does it really mean what it sounds like? And how is it used? And at the end of the day, is it a scientific label or a political one? Misleading labels in politics is nothing new, but the reason this is important is because it's designed to shut down entire areas of debate. New York Times syndicated columnist Paul Krugman wrote that the GOP is becoming the anti-science party. He called it an enormously important development. How important is it? He writes, "It should terrify us." And if you think about it, if the label he's using is accurate, if it's true, we should be terrified. It should terrify us if any block of citizens became anti-science. Because think about what that would mean. Citizens opposed to the gathering of knowledge. Citizens opposed to finding new medicines, new discoveries, new technologies, new ways to make our lives better, our travel safer, our environment cleaner, and our energy more plentiful. It brings up a Taliban-like image of people dedicated to ignorance. People not only opposed to finding the truth, but people opposed to you finding the truth as well. It's a frightening image. Anti-science. But how is it actually used? Anti-science, or some variation of it, has been used by the New York Times, New Scientist, Discover Magazine, the Miami Herald, countless other newspapers, television pundits, and even a presidential candidate has slapped his own party with the label. And let's start with that, because the anti-science label has gained notoriety and importance because of its prominence in the Republican presidential primaries. On the ABC News program this week, host Jake Tapper was interviewing former Utah Governor John Huntsman about a recent tweet he made against one of his opponents, the governor of Texas, Rick Perry.
Comments from Governor Perry prompted you to tweet, quote, "To be clear, I believe in evolution and trust scientists on global warming. Call me crazy." Were you just being cheeky, or do you think there's a serious problem with what Governor Perry said?
Note that the Huntsman tweet starts with evolution. The anti-science label, or some variation of it, isn't always a smear on someone who doesn't buy completely into Darwinian theory, but it seems it's almost always the case. Now, Governor Huntsman's response is an excellent example of the use of the anti-science label. For the sake of brevity, in this next clip from ABC's This Week, I've eliminated Governor Huntsman's concerns about climate change.
I think this is a serious problem. The minute that the Republican Party becomes the party, the anti-science party, we have a huge problem. We lose a whole lot of people who would otherwise allow us to win the election in 2012. When we take a position that isn't willing to embrace evolution, I think we find ourselves on the wrong side of science and therefore in a losing position. The Republican Party has to remember that we're drawing from traditions, go back as far as Abraham Lincoln, Theodore Roosevelt, President Eisenhower, Nixon, Reagan, and Bush, and we've got a lot of traditions to draw upon, but I can't remember a time in our history where we actually were willing to shun science and become a party that was antithetical to science. I'm not sure that's good for our future, and it's not a winning formula.
Note what the governor's doing here is typical among the political use of the term anti-science. What he really means is anti-Darwinian theory, as though somehow, if you don't subscribe to all aspects of Darwinian theory, you're anti-science, or, to put it another way, you're anti-physics, anti-mathematics, anti-chemistry, anti-astronomy, anti-medicine, anti-biology. The label, of course, doesn't make sense, but that doesn't stop people from using it. But making sense isn't required when you're using the label anti-science. For example, in urging people to avoid the label anti-science and to embrace Darwinian evolution, Governor Huntsman called upon the legacy of Abraham Lincoln. But Abraham Lincoln only became president in 1861, and Darwin's theory on the origin of the species was published in November of 1859. And with all that Lincoln had going on, it's hard for me to imagine that Darwinian evolution took up a whole lot of space on his policy agenda. The governor also called upon the legacy of Eisenhower, Reagan, and Bush, the implication of which is that somehow science was safe under these men because Darwinian evolution was fully embraced, when that's simply not the case. For example, Reagan expressed doubts about evolutionary theory, but that didn't lead to a new dark age in science. ABC's Jake Tapper followed up this exchange with a question about a Gallup poll concerning American beliefs in the origins of man.
A December 2010 Gallup poll showed 52% of Republicans believe in strict creationism. So is it possible that this position that you're staked out on science is one where you're out of step with your party?
Note the way the question is framed. It's not about where Huntsman has staked out his position on one specific line of scientific inquiry. It's about where he staked out his position on science. Also, I took a look at the December 17th, 2010 Gallup report about this strict creationism. And here's what the question actually was. Which of the following statements comes closest to your views on the origin and development of human beings? 1. Human beings have developed over millions of years from less advanced forms of life, but God guided this process. 2. Human beings have developed over millions of years from less advanced forms of life, but God had no part in this process. 3. God created human beings pretty much in their present form at one time within the last 10,000 years or so. Since the question was phrased, which of the following statements comes closest to your views, even the people who answered option number 3, the strict creationist view, don't necessarily hold that the Earth is only 10,000 years old. Evolution can be a loaded term. But the results of this poll were supposed to show an anti-science danger, that the failure of followers of one political party to fully embrace the Darwinian theory poses an anti-science danger to the nation. But let's take a look at how independents and Democrats answered the same question. When answering a question about what comes closest to their views on the origin and development of human beings, 88% of Republicans chose an answer that involved God. 73% of independents followed suit, and 74% of Democrats also chose an answer other than the strict Darwinist view that humans evolved, God had no part of the process. In the implication section of the Gallup poll, it reads that these views have been generally stable over the last 28 years. Acceptance of the creationist viewpoint has decreased slightly over time, with a concomitant rise in acceptance of a secular evolution perspective. But these shifts have not been large, and the basic structure of beliefs about human beings' origins is generally the same as it was in the early 1980s. With all the advancements of medicine, science, physics, and biology since the 1980s, does it really make sense to claim that there's a danger in not fully embracing Darwinian evolution? The governor again framed his answer in this exchange as though failure to fully embrace Darwinian evolution was destined to be a broader blow against science.
And I'm here to tell you that a lot of people in this country and a lot of people in the Republican Party, I think, are willing to embrace science and are willing to embrace the realities that have been present around whether it's evolution or whether it is climate change. And I'm here to tell you, for us to be successful as a party, we must be a party that respects science, not one that runs from science.
But again, the message of the Gallup poll was that Americans have not embraced Darwinian evolution and that these views have been generally stable over the last 28 years. Further, that the refusal to embrace an atheistic Darwinian evolution has not, as the anti-science label would imply, held back the advancement of science in the United States. Now, many pundits and commentators have used the anti-science label, but Governor Huntsman's prominent position in the GOP presidential primary has him front and center in the questions about who is anti-science. And it not only came up on ABC's This Week, but also in a recent presidential debate.
You yourself have said the party is in danger of becoming anti-science. Who on the stage is anti-science?
Listen, when you make comments that fly in the face of what 98 out of 100 climate scientists have said, when you call into question the science of evolution, all I am saying is that in order for the Republican Party to win, we can't run from science. We can't run from mainstream conservative philosophy.
Again and again, it's clear there's only a couple of issues that will earn you the anti-science label, and one of them is bound to be a failure to fully embrace atheistic Darwinian evolution. Another example of this was recently published in the Miami Herald and has been making the rounds on the internet. In the piece, politicians are labeled as anti-science because, they say about evolution, it's a theory out there, and it's got some gaps in it. Also, science reveals new discoveries all the time, and in so doing, makes the evolutionary explanation less plausible. Well, of course, there are gaps in the evolutionary theory. There are mysteries. There's the mystery of the Cambrian explosion of life. There's the incredible complexity of microorganisms. But again, expressing doubt earns you not only the label of anti-science, but listen to how it's phrased in the second paragraph of the piece. Admittedly, a media guy like me, back when the pointy-headed liberal elite was running amok, might have come to the defense of evolution, but that was before the anti-science, anti-biology, anti-paleontology, anti-archaeology, anti-astronomy, anti-geology, anti-genetics, anti-physics, anti-carbon dating crowd included a Florida lieutenant lieutenant governor, and several leading contenders for the Republican presidential nomination. Whew, quite a paragraph. I said it was an example, I didn't say it was a well-written one. But note again, if you express any doubt about Darwinian evolution, you're not just wrong, you're opposed to every kind of science. You're opposed to knowledge itself, which is an odd charge, since one alternative to the theory of evolution is the theory of intelligent design, an effort to empirically detect whether the apparent design in nature is genuine design or simply the product of an undirected process, such as natural selection acting on random variations. Note that the theory expresses a desire to find knowledge, not suppress it. The anti-science label isn't just used by politicians, political reporters, and newspaper columnists. It's also sometimes used by scientists. Nobel Prize winner and Royal Society President Paul Nurse had the lead editorial in the September 14th issue of New Scientist magazine. It was headlined, "Stamp Out Anti-Science in U.S. Politics." It begins as follows. If you respect science, you will probably be disturbed by the following opinions. On evolution, intelligent design is a legitimate scientific theory that should be taught in science class. Note again, the failure to fully embrace Darwinian evolution means not only that you're supposed to be wrong, but also you don't even respect science itself. The column continues with a nod toward two other issues, embryonic stem cell research and climate change, and then warns that we'd probably be even more disturbed if we understood that opinions, like intelligent design is a legitimate scientific theory, have been expressed by potential candidates for the U.S. presidential nomination. Then Nurse writes, "It's alarming that a country which leads the world in science, the home of Benjamin Franklin, Richard Feynman, and Jim Watson, might be turning its back on science. How can this be happening? What can be done?" Now, let's take a step back and examine this statement. It's alarming that a country which leads the world in science, the home of Benjamin Franklin, Richard Feynman, and Jim Watson, might be turning its back on science. How can this be happening? Well, Benjamin Franklin was around at the founding of the country. The nation as a whole then was far less likely to have embraced Darwinian evolution than it is now. So somehow at the American founding, the nation embraced science without embracing Darwinian evolution, yet somehow now we're in trouble. Nurse's solution to this perceived anti-science problem in U.S. politics and U.S. society in general is a solution that the people he's smearing with an anti-science label would be unlikely to object to. Quote, "We need to emphasize why the scientific process is such a reliable generator of knowledge, with its respect for evidence, for skepticism, for consistency of approach, for the constant testing of ideas. Everyone should know and understand why the processes that lead to astronomy are more reliable than those that lead to astrology." Clearly, that last crack is supposed to be condescending. But what is intelligent design if not skepticism of Darwinian evolution and the testing of an idea? Nurse concludes, "If those who are anti-science in the U.S. are allowed to carry the day, it will ultimately hurt the American economy. The best scientists will head for the established leaders of science, such as the U.K., and emerging powerhouses such as China and India. But beyond that, it will damage the U.S.'s standing in the world. Who will be able to take its leaders seriously?" The suggestion here that failure to embrace Darwinian evolution will somehow harm the U.S. economy simply doesn't hold up to observation. American history is filled with presidents who didn't embrace atheistic Darwinian evolution, and as the Gallup survey information showed, American society at large has consistently rejected atheistic Darwinian evolution for the last 28 years at least. And yet in those years, Americans' leaders have been taken seriously, our economy continues to grow, and scientists from around the world continue to come to the United States hoping to work here. Indeed, the idea that we need to embrace Darwinian evolution or we won't have a vibrant economy is demonstrably false. After all, we live in the richest nation that the world has ever known. And the founders of that system declared, "When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." Now, those are not statements made in such a way as to embrace atheistic Darwinian evolution, and yet, despite current bumps in the road, the American economy has done pretty well. In short, the assertion that if one fails to fully embrace Darwinian evolution, that somehow the American economy is going to be hurt, is not a scientific statement but a political one. And that's essentially what the lesson is about the anti-science label. Contrary to the assertions of the label, it's not anti-science as in anti-biology, paleontology, archaeology, astronomy, physics, genetics, geology, chemistry, and it's easy enough to demonstrate that. Commonly, people smeared with this label are very interested in the pursuit of additional knowledge. So if the label's inaccurate, why would some scientists still choose to use it? Well, to paraphrase Professor John Lennox, just because a scientist says it doesn't make it science. The anti-science label is clearly a political tool designed to eliminate debate between proponents of intelligent design and proponents of Darwinian evolution. And since we've demonstrated the common use of this label is false, when you hear it being hurled at those who disagree with Darwinian evolution, you can point out it's unscientific to use the term. I hope you've enjoyed this edition of ID the Future. If so, or if you just want more information, please consider joining the Discovery Institute at discovery.org/CSC.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2010. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.